Hello.
Podcast Network Asia.
Welcome to Family is the Answer, an adoption and foster care podcast. I'm Karina Kuna Henson, Managing Director for Ruhe Foundation. Together with Podcast Network Asia, we're here to share resources to inform you and stories to inspire you about adoption and foster care. Hope you enjoy listening. All right. Well, thanks, Becky, for just saying yes to being on the Family is the Answer podcast. I know we met actually a couple months ago during one of our events, and I was really excited to meet you and hear your story, which I thought so many people really need to hear from more adoptees. And Becky Hoffmeyer Ramos, she's now Ramos by marriage, right? And she was adopted at 7 months old and by American missionaries that were here in the Philippines, and just has this really interesting story of how, you know, you've had to grapple with things around culture, around wrestling with, you know, being adopted by a family that wasn't Filipino and yet biologically being Filipino, eventually having your own family. And when we met, it was actually at a forum, a Family is the Answer forum, where you and your husband, Jeremy, were actually also exploring adoption for your own family. So I just thought, wow, what an incredible story. And I couldn't wait to just hear more about your perspectives and your thoughts on what it was like growing up as an adoptee in the Philippines. So thanks so much for saying yes. Really, really happy that you agreed to do this. So let's dive right in. I've done a little bit of an intro about you, but I would love to hear how you introduce yourself and your own story. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about your parents and your whole journey into being a Hoffmeyer.
Okay. Well, my parents, as you mentioned, they're missionaries, so they came, I might get the year wrong, but 1983 or 4. So they had my brother, their biological son, and then after that, they decided to adopt.
Okay.
So they went through KBF, and then I was adopted at 7 months from a government orphanage, which I did get to visit.
Wow.
I went back to when I was, I think, 18 or 21, I don't remember. So that was a fun experience because I got to see the nursery and everything.
Wow.
Yeah, so since then, I grew up here in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I was homeschooled my whole life. So my main socialization is church. We were homeschooled, and I stayed here until college. And then I went to the U.S. for college. And then a little bit after graduation, I came back and started teaching in the Philippines.
Well, that's incredible. I have so many questions. I don't even know where to start. You talked about being adopted at a very young age by an American family who was living in the Philippines. Were there any cultural adjustments for you, you know, being Filipino by race and yet being adopted by an American family and living in the Philippines? What was life like for you as a child?
Well, if you're familiar with the term TCK, third culture
kid,
there was a lot of that with extra elements. I think that maybe my brother didn't feel as much or felt in a very different way, I guess.
Sure.
Because obviously I'm growing up here. I look Filipino, but
right.
At home we spoke English, so in terms of language development, my comprehension is okay because my father speaks fluent Filipino and he preaches in it. So
wow.
I grew up with that, and I grew up, you know, understanding the sermons, but I didn't really speak it. I could speak some Taglish, but like grammar-wise.
Right. It wasn't your first language.
Yeah, it's super patchy. So with my friends, they speak to me in a mix. Some friends only speak to me in Filipino, and I speak to them in a mix or English.
Okay.
And we get along fine. I guess for those who didn't really know me or didn't understand how I grew up, the challenge there was more that assumption. Like, I would get comments like, well, why don't you speak it? You should.
Right.
Because you're Filipino.
Right.
So sometimes that was hard because I felt like my brother didn't get the same because he's not Filipino.
Right.
So that, I guess, for me was my biggest challenge is being in the skin, you know, of Filipino, but not being 100%, but also wanting to very much identify as a Filipino.
Right.
And then also wanting to be American enough to be accepted with my friends in the States.
Sure.
So that, I guess, would be my biggest challenge. And then somewhat, I think, was the teen years was like, you know, being mistaken for my brother's girlfriend or, you know, Oh my. Not by people who know us, but, you know, just right. In the street, things like that. So there were those, like, people look at you and they automatically see that
you're different in skin color. And so.
Yeah. So that's like, oh, are you like, how American are you? How, you know, Filipino are you?
Right.
And even until now, like, I guess some of me asks, like, which one
am I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But kind of now that I'm an adult and we have our own family, we've just kind of merged it all together. And,
right.
You know, so that's why we call ourselves, you know, third culture home. It very much is.
It's interesting because you bring up, you know, the concept of being a third culture kid, right? But this is just like a whole nother layer on top of that, right? It's not just having to adjust to a culture that's not your own.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is.
Yeah.
And yet it's not really. It's like you're not American enough. You're not Filipino enough to be called Filipino. You're not American enough to be called American. And, you know, it's hard to figure out really your identity. But if it's okay, I would love to hear the perspective of an adoptee also having to wrestle with that at a young age. I guess for you, early on, did you figure out you were adopted? Was it something commonly spoken about in your home? How did you draw those connections? And how did you, for yourself, have to wrestle with your own identity as being a member of the family but not being biologically the same?
Honestly, because it was so openly talked about at home and not talked about in a, oh, because you're different kind of thing, but just it's a natural thing. This is how God made our family. You know, it never was something like, oh, singled out, you're adopted kind of thing, but just
right.
This is how...
This is our family.
This is how God put our family together. So within my family, I never feel like I'm different. So it's really only pictures. I'm like, wait, you know, I do look different, but I don't feel it. I guess growing up, when I was outside of the family,
mm-hmm.
I was trying very hard to fit in with whoever I needed to fit in. So if I'm with a bunch of Americans, you know, trying to be as American as possible.
As you could, yeah.
With Filipinos, trying to be as Filipino as possible.
Sure.
And not really straddling
right.
those worlds. But I think college helped
mm-hmm.
because I was part of a missionary kids group in college.
Okay.
So there were a lot of us in different ways, but we were all straddling, you know,
right.
Two different worlds. And I think that helped kind of just realizing this is the story God gave me. I adjusted, I think, more. I mean, I never went through any like extreme, you know, dramatic moments or some emo moments, but not
sure.
That much, because really my parents were really great about talking about it freely in our family. But there were those times that
right.
I would see myself as different. Yeah,
it was college that helped, I think. Well, I'm an adoptive mom, mm-hmm. right? And I always count it a privilege to be able to talk to adoptees who are willing to really share their experiences. And, you know, I wonder about that all the time,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, for my daughter, is she going to wrestle with some of those hard questions? Or what can I do as a parent to make sure that my child grows up with a healthy view of adoption that feels loved, that she would feel loved and accepted, and that she would know that she's no different to me, that my love for her is the same as it is for my children that are biologically mine, right? But you seem to have grown up with that kind of a healthy environment as well. Are you able to identify some of the things that you think, now looking back, your parents did really deliberately, or your family, your relatives did really deliberately, that allowed you to grow up with those perspectives and with that kind of security as a member of the family?
I've been thinking about that actually recently, especially as we're also considering adoption, because thinking about it, like if I'm going to adopt someone, like I don't know how my parents did it so naturally. Like
right.
There was no difference between us. It wasn't like they never talked about adoption. They did, but there was no difference in how they treated us. It was like it didn't happen, but it did happen, and you knew, and it was okay.
Right.
So I don't really know how.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously God's grace too. And,
yeah.
Wisdom and how to bring it up. They talked about my birth mother. They don't mm-hmm. know a lot about her. They gave me all the papers about her when I was 18, I think.
Okay.
So we talked about it, but I think understanding it in light of the gospel also was something that helped, and
sure.
I became a Christian when I was 14.
Okay.
So I think that 14 to, you know, 18 college age was when
mm-hmm.
I kind of settled down on my trying to be two different people and then just me, you know,
yeah.
about it. So it was really, I think, after understanding salvation more and just that when God saves and, you know, adopts you, you become a part of God's family, you know, and seeing that in a very real picture in the world, you know, that kind of thing, that helped also.
Sure.
in my security and my identity and everything. So I think my parents having that gospel-oriented approach in their parenting and them freely speaking about it and talking about just the concept of adoption spiritually from the pulpit, all these things I grew up with.
Right.
And I think that's also what made it just such a natural thing.
Yeah.
Just gospel-saturated everything that God used to help me wrestle with those things and then, you know, kind of come to grips with who I am.
Mm-hmm. I have a hard question. Might be hard in my head. I'm not sure if it would be hard for you to answer. But like for me as an adoptive mom, one of the things I think about a lot is that so much of me wants to shield my daughter from the pain of having to know the hard parts of her story, right? Because in every adoption story, as beautiful as it is, mm-hmm. sometimes for us, you know, the adoptee and the adoptive family, there is a heartbreaking aspect to it because, you know, it came from a place of hardship and a place of heartbreak first before it became this beautiful adoption story that we celebrate as Christians, right? But I always remind myself that a day will come when she would need to grapple with that for herself.
Yeah.
The hard parts of her story, the painful parts of her story, the painful parts of the reality was someone gave her up for adoption.
Yeah.
She was surrendered and there was a family that they may have loved her, wasn't able or didn't know how to care for her.
Mm-hmm.
Was there ever that kind of a time for you in your life where you had to wrestle with the hard parts, the painful parts, the broken parts of your story?
I think in the teen years, there was. I mean, I remember thinking a lot about, like, who is my birth mother. I mean, we did try to find her, but we did a people search and we couldn't find her. And so there are parts of me that wonders. But I think a lot was just, while I had those thoughts, like okay, she did give me up. But because there was so much love.
Sorry.
Yeah, just so much love in our home. There was no need to like, I could dwell on it if I wanted to, but I knew it was wrong because God has given me so much. Sorry. So, it was really gospel that was so alive in our home. That was what helped me, really. It was such a solid grounding in who God is and that he's a good God and he has a plan and he is, like, his providence is his hand is seen throughout my entire life. And because God saved me when I was 14, at that age where those questions really come up, that's where my bedrock was. And so while I could have gone down that road, by God's grace, I did, because God worked in my heart at that right time to be able to wrestle with those things. Sorry.
That's okay. I'm sorry. You made me cry too. Well, thanks for sharing that. I think that brings so much hope. Because a lot of times there's a lot of fear from adoptive parents for the children they've adopted, right? And at the same time, we want to make sure that we don't just tell one side of the story. I follow a lot of different advocacies and a lot of different people on social media. And a lot of them are really angry at the Christian community because, you know, they say the Christian community only tells one side of the story and you paint this beautiful picture and you tie it back to the gospel and that's it. But what about the adoptees?
Yeah.
And that's why I really wanted to hear your thoughts on it. You know, for someone who had walked it out, who had not tried to dodge the hard part, but was willing to wrestle with God through some of the questions and had a safe place to do that and was able to actually find, you know, hope and grace and a safe place to do that, you know, alongside your family and didn't feel like you couldn't wrestle with that. So thanks for being so vulnerable about that journey and about what it was like for you. I really feel it brings a lot of hope for adoptees and for adoptive families who need to walk through that. Now that you're thinking about adoption for your own family, what are some of the things that you think about? What are some of the things that you wrestle with, some of the questions you have, or some of the things that you try to weigh in your own mind? Because you have a completely different lens. Not many people have the benefit of having your vantage point. You were adopted, or the things you're like, I would do this differently, or maybe I'll try this.
Yeah.
What goes through your mind? What are the things that you consider now that you plan for your own family?
We are also considering adopting older children. So there's a lot because I was only 7 months. So there were things that my parents didn't have to deal with as much because I didn't have a big long memory of
those
experiences. So navigating that world, there are many questions there because I know it'll be completely different from my story. And regardless of age, it will be a different story. So not putting my story into another child's story. And then, just those questions for an older child, questions of even language. Like, there may be a language barrier at first in my parenting. I mean, I can adjust, but it's not going to be perfect. It's going to be a little challenging, especially for me. At the start, my son also, who's very verbose. So things like that. Family dynamic is more my concern than anything else. But also looking at the differences, like, okay, he or she or they will be, you know, raised in another Filipino family and they will be Filipino. So maybe there'll be an easier element for them. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So just things like that, kind of comparing what my story is and then what it could be.
Right. And also not wanting to assume that just because this was your reality, it would be their reality. I mean, there's so many other layers. To every circumstance is different. Every adoption story is different.
Yeah.
Well, that's really interesting. I mean, I can imagine for you as a mom as well, you're thinking about your biological kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty young, right? You actually have a baby and a toddler. Yeah. What are some of the things? Have you started talking to them about it? How are you guys preparing your family for maybe potentially this adoption?
I've mentioned it a couple times to my son. And, you know,
right over the top of his head.
That's one of the reasons why we're waiting a little bit
to
get him to an age where we can really talk about it.
It's sure.
Understand. So, I mean, right now, he's familiar with the gospel and things like that. And so hopefully we can, you know, connect it, maybe get one of the books that relates to adoption because he loves reading. So, because I don't think we can really go into it without him being on board because he's old enough that
he understands
the world.
Right.
More than already his sister rocked his world. So, yeah. But we do want to talk to them about it. We're just not sure. Like, we're weighing our timeline with also being sensitive to him.
To him, yeah. Does he know about your adoption story?
I don't think he even recognizes that I look different yet from
his grandparents.
Yeah. because actually my parents didn't really talk to me specifically about it until my mom noted that I noticed I looked different. And that was when we were on furlough. And she caught me looking at myself in the mirror. And she realized that, you know, apparently I called myself ugly. But that's when she realized, okay, now there's a...
How old were you?
I must have been maybe 5 or 4.
Okay.
So that age is when I started noting differences. And
right.
So far, Sammy has.
So he has not figured out that you guys look different from each other. Okay. It's funny. Sometimes we overthink it. And actually for the kids, they're actually, you know, they don't really put two and two together.
Yeah.
And they're not assuming anything. And we're so worried that they're thinking things that they're actually not. I mean, it's just the world they're used to. Well, I know recently you participated in a campaign that we did, right? Called the Hindi Ako Ampon Laong campaign. I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Growing up in the Philippines with the adoption culture and the adoption stigma, it's really different from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I find that here in the Philippines, we don't do a good job at really talking about it openly and having conversations about it where, you know, all parties are honored, whether it's, you know, the adoptee, the adoptive family, and then maybe even the birth family.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any observations? Because you're very American, but you're also very Filipino. What are your observations about how here in the Philippines adoption is perceived and what was it like for you as an adoptee?
Mm-hmm. Well, growing up, it was all of my friends who grew up with me didn't seem to either notice or didn't really have anything to say about it. It was just me, you know.
Right.
And I asked my mom actually about this just recently, and she said there were a couple people that said things to her that never said anything to me, but like one person said, "Oh, she's just adopted."
Yeah.
So like there was that, you know, layer, and then someone else though said that seeing our family helped them understand the gospel. So there were multiple perspectives, but all of them... Oh, and she also said some people would comment like, oh, she's treated just the same as her brother, as if there was this expectation that there would be any difference.
Right.
But I never felt that because it was only adults who said that and they didn't tell me. They just talked to my parents. But kids growing up with me, for the most part...
Didn't mention anything.
Yeah. Didn't really mention anything about it. It wasn't really until I started teaching, actually, because we have a thing called Parents Observation Week.
Okay.
So the parents of the students would come in and observe their kids' classes. Well, my parents came in and observed the teacher. So they would show up and they were in the back of the room. And so a number of my students' parents would sit back there and they noted that, hey, there's this American couple in the back. So they started having conversations. And some of them did ask my parents about it, a little bit about adoption and stuff like that. That's, I guess, when I noticed that there was more of a stigma than I realized. Mm-hmm. And because I didn't grow up watching TV, I didn't see any of that.
On media and things like that. Yeah. You didn't have to deal with any of the cultural biases that actually...
I didn't even really realize how deep some of them
were
because I didn't watch TV, so...
Well, maybe that's a good strategy. Maybe that was your parents' wisdom as well to kind of just shield you from some of the trashy stuff that's out there. And you just didn't have to deal with any of the negative perceptions of it on media. That's really great.
Isang nakakahilakbot na gabi. Ako po si Red. Mga samot-saring kwentong katatakutan ba ang trip mo? Inaanyayahan kitang makinig dito sa Hilakbot Pinoy Horror Stories The Podcast. Hanapin mo na sa iyong paboritong podcast platforms. Powered by Podcast Network Asia. Sige na, switch off na ang ilaw tapos itodo mo ang volume ng iyong speaker. Huwag kang matakot. Sasamahan ka naman ng matandang nakabitin sa inyong kisame at kanina pa nakatingin sa iyo.
I think just in closing, and I'm not sure if there are any other thoughts that you have about this, but what are your tips for adoptees? Because you grew up with a really healthy, I would say, mm-hmm. perspective on adoption. You grew up in a family that was loving and kind and caring. Have you ever encountered adoptees that had very different experiences? Or what would you say to someone whose experience with adoption was very different from yours and in a negative way? Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess there's always that, you know, that God can redeem even in the most broken stories. But sometimes there's a good degree of being so self-absorbed that you don't realize that, like there's that selfishness inside that you also have to deal with, like being self-absorbed. And I went through that too, like mm-hmm. wanting to just think about, you know, pity party kind of thing. So, but that was a simple response. So there's that, dealing with your own sin even in that case, but really just also talking about it and not being afraid to talk about it. Actually, growing up, no one really asked me, none of my friends really asked me about being adopted. Mm-hmm. But when I started sharing a lot of stuff on social media, I had multiple friends talk to me about adoption as, you know, interested themselves, or just they finally asked me, like, what was it like? What did you go through? Even though they grew up with me, life. But I think it's because we don't talk about it, and maybe we think that's something that it's great you're adopted, but we shouldn't talk about it because maybe it's so sensitive.
Yeah.
But that makes you think you're weird and you shouldn't talk about it. But if you do talk about it and get over that, like, well, maybe people will find me weird, you might find that people are really curious, they're just afraid to ask.
Right.
So, yeah, I would say if, you know, talk about it, whether it's positive or negative, but talk about it.
Right.
Hope that, you know, that will help you process too. Yeah.
Well, that's great advice. I think not just for adoptees, but also for friends of adoptees, like that actually creating opportunities. I always say, put the conversation on the table, just talk about it, because I find that it's weird when people are wondering about our adoption story, but don't want to ask. Sometimes I'll just break the ice and be like, oh, you know, and let them know. Sometimes they're wondering which one of your children was the one who you adopted. And it's always very awkward. But the truth is, I'm happy to tell this story. And I'm guessing for you as well, your encouragement to adoptees is actually, you know, talk about it, you know, have those conversations. It might not all be the positive stuff, mm-hmm. even the negative stuff, but you can open up those conversations. They actually help you process.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I talked about it with a lot of people in the States, my friends in college. You just talked about it. People would ask, you know, but which is very different culture. You know, it's normal to adopt.
Right. In the United States. Yeah. Actually, families like that with American parents and then Filipino kids is actually not uncommon in the United States. It's probably more uncommon here than it is in America. Yeah. And so what I'm hearing is that was actually helpful for you to kind of be around people who were open enough to talk about it and were used to having conversations around.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that talking about it even just encourages people to actually think about it, not as a thing you do if you can't have a biological child, but just another way of building your family. Like, it should be naturally talked about. And I found that since sharing more about it and even telling a few friends that were looking at it, that it's something being talked about too. That, like, they'll talk about it as well. So that's my hope, that at least it will come into conversation and get into, you know, people's vocabulary in a positive way. Yeah. So
that's great.
And not find it as something that's taboo.
Yeah. Or have to tiptoe around the topic, right? Okay, my last question, Becky, before I let you go, and I know your kids are waiting. What's your word of encouragement for those that are listening, or what do you wish that people knew about being adopted, about your story, about your journey? I mean, you might have a message for adoptive parents, mm-hmm. or you might have a message for adoptees, but what do you wish that people knew about being in your shoes and about your story?
I guess that you can trust God with the future, and you won't even know how your biological children will turn out. Just as you won't know if your adoptive children won't turn out. So don't project a future for an adoptive child that you have no idea if that's going to be their future or not. And really just having a gospel-saturated life and family, that goes so far in even helping deal with trauma. And God can redeem even the darkest past. You know, he can still work and redeem, and to commit it to God in prayer and leave it in an open palm before God, just as you should with your own biological children.
That's super encouraging. Well, thanks, Becky. It's really nice to be able to talk to you, and I'm really grateful for you, just the way you've been so open and vulnerable about it. And I think that the adoptees that are listening are going to find a lot of hope in your words and a lot of strength, and hopefully the courage to maybe have those conversations, start talking about it, start processing the hard stuff, and knowing that, you know, God is their safe place, and that God can redeem, like you've said, even the darkest of pasts. So thanks so much for just being a light and an encouragement and a voice for adoptees everywhere. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing this.
That was the Family is the Answer podcast by Rohe Foundation and powered by Podcast Network Asia. If you're interested to know more about adoption and foster care, visit our website at rohefoundation.org, where you can find articles, videos, and other resources. You can also find us on social media. We're Rohe Foundation on Instagram and Facebook. Again, thanks for listening, and I hope to catch you at our next episode.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.